Alright, selamat datang semuanya. How many is ready to learn from the Lord? Amen. You are blessed because you are here. How many say amen? Amen. God is calling you to be in this presence, in this place every week to just worship Him. You know, I mean, I was thinking when I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking that you are like the faithful sheep, you know, shepherd in the book of John. I mean, in the book of John chapter 10, how many have heard this? See if you know this verse. John chapter 10 verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." How many remember that? How many never heard about that? Everybody here? Oh, some. Okay. There's one at least that is honest. Some of you, shame on you, that you never heard, but you don't, you know, raise your hand. But yeah, John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said to his disciple, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." So I know that you are a good sheep, you know, and because you come and God calls you and you come and you follow him. And, you know, if you know that picture about the shepherd calling the sheep, this is, of course, in the agrarian culture. You have shepherds. Now here, of course, if you live in the Bay Area, probably you are not familiar, but I know that some of you knows the life of agrarian culture. You know, the shepherd in the morning will take all the sheep out to grass, to eat the grass, and to just relax in the sun. At the end of the afternoon, closer to the nighttime, the shepherd will call the sheep to come back to its place, its den. How many know how to call the sheep to come back and follow? Right? Something like that. I don't know. But the reason why the shepherd called the sheep to come back is because at nighttime, it's not too safe. It's not too safe for the sheep to be out there. Dangerous place. The wolf, the wild animals can eat the sheep. So the shepherd will say, "Come on in, come on in." I don't know what the sound or noise the shepherd will make. But the point is to bring all the sheep back into the resting time, resting place, secure place, so that they are out of danger. And I'm thinking that this church on Sunday is like that resting place where from Monday to Saturday, you went out, you know, go to school, work, and do your daily living things. And there's a lot of danger along the way. You know, things can harm you, things can put you in danger, you know, be it physical harm or mental, you know, thinking, philosophy, cultic teaching, right? And so shepherd will call you, "Come on, sheep, rest." And so on Sunday, by the way, Sabbath is this day, means the day of rest. So all of you hear the call of the shepherd, all of you come, and you are in a safe place. Tell the person next to you, you are in a safe place. You are in a safe place. But today we're going to talk about people who refuse to come. So let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at the same passage from the Bible, Luke chapter 14. We call that passage the no-low passage. No one left out. And Luke chapter 14 is talking about someone who wants to invite everybody. And I will then talk about the fact that some people that he invites did not want to come. And then we will see there's a change of mood of this host, you know, the party host. His mood suddenly changed. But we'll also talk about the fact that he become angry, but it become a blessing. The anger become a blessing for some. And so we're going to talk about that. And then at the end, we will talk about how to properly respond to this great host. Of course, by now, if you are here in the last few weeks, you know that this great banquet, great party is talking about one big, great party that God will have for all of us who believe in him. I call it the mother of all parties because it's such a great party, a lot of people and very, very nice. And we can all have that in heaven when we are ready to receive our rewards. because we are faithful until the end. The Bible says if you are faithful until the end, you will receive your rewards. You will be in the presence of God. And that, I think Kojep last week showed you one big, great picture. Let's see if I can click this. If not, somebody click for me. I'm too far or this battery is too weak. It's not clicking and it's on. Can somebody help me in the back? Because our clicker is not there. Thank you. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this. So, this picture, how many can tell that this is probably painted in the Middle Age? If you are familiar with the dress code at the party, you will see, you know, people wearing this long dress. Even this is the guy with beard, you know, wearing long dress, and everybody's dressing like that. Nobody dressed like that anymore, unless they are in a Victorian party, you know. But how many can tell which one is Jesus? That is Jesus there. That is Jesus. How do you tell that this is Jesus? How do you tell that is Jesus? Kau tahu yang ini Tuhan Yesus? Soalnya ada hello-nya. Ada hello-nya. There's a hello, you know. So he was just at the great, at the center of the party. This is, I think, somebody by the name of Paolo Veronis. Paolo Veronis. He drew this in the middle of the 16th century, old painting about the wedding in Cana. This is a wedding in Cana. I think this one is in one of the, this painting is in the one of the museum in Italy. Okay, so great party. And everyone was invited. But then we read that not everyone, initially, let's look at the verse again. Yeah, Luke chapter 14. Jesus replied, so Jesus was replying into some question. Okay, if you want to know what question it is, you go back to Luke chapter 14, read prior to this verse. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. This is a person that is ready to party, ready to have a great time, ready to hang out with his friend. Put yourself as this host. You want to make a party. Birthday party, or just celebrating baby shower or bridal shower. You are ready to party. Who would you invite? Siapa yang Anda undang? Of course, somebody, people that you, yes, people that you know, people that are familiar with you. You know, Tiffany wants to have a wedding next year, and I ask her, who are you inviting? Opa. Opa. Oh, pa. You know, I'm not opa yet. Oh, pa. Pa. Oh. I don't want to look old. But that's what he said. Opa, I have 400 people in my list. 400? How much is your budget? You need to trim it down, right? I mean, but pa, these are the people that I know. Right? Now she tried. Now it's 285, she said. But 285, still a huge number. You know, all the wedding that I have been officiating in the past few years is only less than 150. You know, and I said, you're going to pay that yourself, right? You know, and she's trying. Pa, I think the minimum is 200, you know. Okay, 200. Yeah, you know, 200 people still okay lah, maybe, you know. But my point is, she will invite people that she knows. And that's what the great host is doing. He sent invitation to those he knows or he thinks knows him. He has high expectation. Okay, I'm going to invite my good friend. They all know me and we're going to have great time. But unfortunately, something happened. You see, then the servant sent out the invitation, and then they are making excuse. Look, they are all like, all of them making excuse. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. The second one says, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. So all these people that he thinks know him, the host, refuse to celebrate with him. All of them, look at this. What is the common thing about these three people? Think about it. They all have different excuse, but there's one thing that is the same with all of them. Well, all of them refuse to come. Okay, that's one, all right? But what else? What else? They don't come because of an excuse. What is the category of the excuse? Blessing. Somebody say blessing. Yay. Look at that. This is, they all come because they have a lot of blessings. Blessing that turns into curses because they don't come. All these people, or the hosting, they know me. That's why I go to them first and invite them first. But then they have too many blessings. Look at this. New field. New field. What is new field? This is a landowner buying field, land. I call it passive investment. Passive investment. If you have a lot of money, you don't have to work very hard, right? You go buy passive investment. The investment will make money. This guy is a passive investor. He bought field. He will become landowner, tuan tanah. And he refused to come. He said, I need to inspect it. I need to inspect it. So he's busy inspecting his passive investment. Why does it need to be inspected? I understand. A few years ago, my dad passed away. And we have 2 houses. Well, not we, but he has 2 houses. One is in the city center of Jakarta and one is in Cibubur. Cibubur is a little outside Jakarta, right? Everybody live in the city center. Cibubur, my dad likes to go there on weekend, spend few days. And he always go there on the weekend while my mom is get tired of the traffic. By the way, my mom is here. So welcome, my mom. And so you know that I'm honest because she's going to check me out here if I tell you the wrong story, okay? So father always go to Cibubur, and then after a while, my mom get tired. I don't want to go to Cibubur, too long, the traffic is too far and all that thing. And so he always go to Cibubur, and every time mom wants to bring her or ask him to go out of town or out of the country, he would refuse. He refused. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to go to Cibubur. Like, why? What's in Cibubur? You know, like maybe there is a bubur that is so nice. No, it's a house. It's a second house. It's a small house. So we were all wondering at that time why he didn't want to go anywhere. He always wanted to go to Cibubur. Okay. 2007, he passed away. We cleaned the house. Getting ready to sell, you know, because it's too much a hassle to go to Cibubur, you know, it's not being used. We want to sell it. So we clean the house. When we clean the house, it's a 2-story house. Underneath, by the way, it's already sold, so I have nothing to hide. My mom does not have anything to hide. Underneath the stair, there is a room, you know, I mean like the stair, there's a space. And that space was closed off with metal door, with a big locks, right? So we wonder, hey, where's the key? Where's the key? So we open it, and when we open it, a lot of U.S. dollars in there. That is why he has a passive investment for Indo people, okay? Not only land, US dollar is also a passive investment. They store it because just to hedge against rupiahs, you know, they already know US dollar is going to go up and up, 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 and rupiah will become worthless and worthless and worthless. Right? Or not worthless, lah. Less and less and less. And so passive investment is US dollar. It's there. That's why he didn't want to go anywhere. He always wanted to inspect to make sure it's still there. Passive investment. This guy said, I have a passive investment. You know, people here, and I know this is not a financial course, but passive investment, you know, land, property, apartment, for Indo people, US dollar, gold. Those are all passive investment. He's busy checking. The second one, did you hear? He just bought 5 pair of yoke for oxen. Oxen is kerbau. Yoke is that thing, that wooden thing, that pair 2 oxen so that they can walk at work in tandem. Okay, 2 kerbau, 2 yoke, 2 oxen, 1 yoke. He just invests in 5 new pair of yokes. This is called active investment because he is working. So the first guy is passive investment. This guy, he bought 5. He said, I want to try them. I don't have time because I have to work. This is talking about people who are so busy expanding their career. Whatever that they are doing at the moment, whether they are students or working, they're expanding. You know, some student said, Pastor, this semester I'm taking 12 classes, 48 units. Nothing like that. I'm just making it up, right? But I cannot come because I'm taking so many courses. I need to study. And some people said, on Sunday, you know, I'm working. So I cannot come. This is talking about active investment. I once have an ice cream store. At first, I was thinking about being a passive investor. You know, I don't, you know, like, okay lah, you know, I thought owning a store can be like a passive investor. It's probably just me. You know, some people can do it. But, you know, you put the money down, you make the nice ice cream store, and then you hire people to work. But it ends up a lot of time. I'm not a passive investor because I have to sweep the floor, I have to wash the dishes, and I have to make the ice cream. I become active investor. And it's really draining and tiring. But these two types of people, passive investment, active investment. The last one said, I just got married. I just got married. So I have to tend to my marriage. Maybe that guy is just get married and want to go to honeymoon in Hawaii or something, you know. But he's using, you know, this marriage as an excuse not to come. And to me, this is a familial, you know, using family as an excuse. And I'm guilty of that. When my babies, my children were very little, you know, it's really taking a lot of energy out to go anywhere. I'm talking this, moms and dad, you understand, you know, just to go out some shopping, you have to prepare the baby, and the baby, you have to prepare all the thing that can possibly happen, the number one and the number two, you know, and you know what number one, number two, right? You don't know what number one, number two? Okay, I don't want to say it, but yeah, that one. And so, you know, all the food, because the baby will not warn you whenever it wants to do number one, number two, or hungry. The parents has to prepare. And then, because of that, it takes a lot of energy for the parents to go anywhere. And then even go to church, it takes a lot of energy. So they always make an excuse, Pastor, this week, you know, sorry, I cannot wake up because, you know, last night the baby doesn't sleep so well. I'm guilty of that. So I really appreciate, you know, those of you mom and dad who tough it out for your faith to answer the call of the shepherds. You know, like, and by the way, it's not right, you know, to use your baby as an excuse. Right? If you don't come to the church, it's not my fault, Pastor. It's her. Of course, she cannot defend herself. So you just say, it's her problem, you know. I mean, we were already ready to go, but then suddenly, you know, I mean, whatever. But, so, by the way, I don't want those of you who are faithful to come to Sunday service, I don't want you to become judgmental to this kind of people. It's a tough challenge, the way we live, especially for those who live in the United States. You know, we don't have pembantu, you know, pembantu, bibi, you know, servants. We don't have. Everything we have to do ourselves. So we have a perfect excuse if you know. And so that's the reality. And then here, sometime we have to work 2-3. So I don't want you to be judgmental. I want you to help these people, you know, love these people. God is not a God that says, come on, you know. It's not like that. But having said that, Luke, by the way, Luke is the recorder of the story, right? Luke did not have a positive view about this kind of people because he continued to write. You know, there are three type of people, you know, the passive investor, active investor, and those who with family obligation, they have excuses. And we see he continued to write. We notice now the mood of the host suddenly changed. Before it was like, let's party, happy, come on. Then now you read something. The servant came back and reported this to the master, those people who refused. Then the owner of the house became angry. The mood suddenly changed. Angry now. And ordered his servant, go out quickly into the street and alleys of the town. The host became angry. He became disappointed. People that he thought was his friend, people that he thought knows him, refused to come to his party. Deep down, I can feel the hurt of this host. Can you imagine if you're the host, you invite all your friends, people that you think close to you. Ayo datang dong, ulang tahun nih, yang ke-18. Yeah. You know, I said, come, I want to celebrate my birthday, number 18. Yeah, that was like 50 zillion years ago. Then none of you said, yeah, I want to come, Pastor. I'm so happy. No, you said, Pastor, sorry. You know, I have exam midterm tomorrow. I have to study. Sorry. I just bought an apartment. I have to clean it this morning or tomorrow morning or the day of the party because somebody will rent it. You know what I'm going to say? I thought you were my friend, but okay. I can feel the hurt. I don't know about you. Maybe you are just like, oh, you don't want to come? It's okay. I'll just eat myself. I don't think anyone that's normal like that, you know, when you invite someone, for sure you want them to come, right? Your friends, especially. I feel the hurt when I read this thing, yeah? When I really meditate on it, I feel nyes-nyes, you know, in my heart. You know nyes-nyes? It's nyes-nyes in English, you know? It's like that. And I said, God, by the way, this whole party is talking about God, right? You know, God wants to have a party and invite his people every week to come. And then a lot of us making excuses. I don't want to come because I'm too busy doing this, doing that. And some, and again, all of these are valid, you know, valid excuse. I've been in that place a lot of time. A lot of place. So I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. And I said, yeah, God, I disappointed you so many times. but you still invite me. You have the right to become angry. You have the right to be disappointed. So what happened? He become disappointed. He become angry. And then this is what he says. Go out quickly into the street and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Do you notice now it's no longer an invitation? It says bring. Bring is an order. Bring them in. Don't just say, would you come, please? No. He said, bring them in. What does it mean? I thought that God is not the one who likes to force people to do anything. He invites. But this time he forced people to come. Bring them in. How do you resolve this? But look, who is he bringing in? Read that. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. People who cannot bring themselves into the party. People who feel, I'm ashamed, I'm poor, I don't have a dress to go to the party. I'm gak layak untuk datang. You know, like these people will never to come on the first place. They're blind. They need someone to guide them to come to this place to have a party. They are crippled and lame, cannot walk. That's why that word seems strong at first, but you understand who the host of the party. The party said, my friend does not want to come. By the way, this story, if you read in the context, is talking about Jesus menyindir. I don't know what in English menyindir is. What is menyindir in English? Like, you know, hitting you indirectly with words. What? Huh? Sarcasm? I think something like that, yeah. Sarcastic. Insult. Insult, I think it's a good one. Insult, yes. Jesus was a little bit insulting the Jews who are listening to him at that time. Because what it is the Jews are called the people of God. Chosen one. The chosen nation, right? So they think they know God, right? Because God says, you are my people and I'm your God to the Jewish people. But when Jesus came and speak in the name of God, the Jews refused him, did not welcome him, and just doesn't want to do anything with Jesus. So Jesus is saying, I'm coming to give you an invitation. You are not coming. I thought you know me. I thought you are my friend. You understand? So Jesus was insulting the Jews actually. But anyway, the one that finally Jesus or God, the host, says, bringing the poor, bring the crippled, bring the blind, bring the lame. I think this one is to those, this word is for you, all of you who are faithful people that come already. You are not only now a guest or visitors, you are the servant. And you now receive an order. And pretty much your master, God, is saying, bring in the people. Now, me, when I invite people to the church, what kind of people do I usually invite? Usually, I think I'm going to invite people that I think appropriate for our church. You know, people that for example, a lot of students come from Christian family, you know. Oh, I'm going to invite this Christian student because they are kind of like us and they are brought up in a Christian school and Christian family. And that's the kind of people that I think is appropriate for our church. We invite people that we are comfortable with. But the reality, you see that sometimes these people that you invite doesn't even care. They don't want to even come. And I'm talking to those of you who are the inviter, the servant. And a lot of time you miss the people that God wants to bring in this place. Because we become exclusive, only invite people like us. Last week I was invited to speak to City Blessing Church in Portland. You know, when when the pastor from outside come to a church, you know, they try to milk you. Milk means, you know, morning you preach, afternoon there's something, you know, they try to make the best use of your time. We call it milking. And I don't mind, because that's the reason why I go there, is to become a blessing. So I preach in the morning, in the afternoon they invite me to a care group. It's your cell group or small group, in one of the house. They call it international care group, international people. And turns out there was the house of Filipinos. And, you know, I preach and I serve them with the word of God. And afterward, it's a lot of ma'ma over there, okay? Ma'ma Philippine. And ma'ma, you know what ma'ma is? You know, moms and, you know, older people. You know, by the way, you who are looking at me, you are mama, you know. And it's okay. Mama is powerful. Yay, you know, they are in Indo now, you know, the political parties, they like mama, because mama is militant, you know. Like they are not ashamed of anything, atau malu gitu. You're like, mama, yeah, you know, whatever. So anyway, a lot of mama, you know, and but then there's a, you know, Filipinos, there was a black lady, Mexican man, and then a lot of Indo mama and Filipino and that mama. One of the men come to me, you know, and he cried, "Pastor, please pray for me. I lost my confidence. When I was in Philippines, I was an engineer. I'm electronic engineer. I've been here for 2 years," he said. And I feel like I know nothing now. I'm working in a gas station, you know, or whenever people need me to work hourly, I will go. And then my wife still in Philippines. I really, you know, long for her. And he cried. But Pastor, while crying, he said, "I find this church. That's why I brought my sisters and my brother to come to this church, this City Blessing Church." And I was thinking, this is the kind of person that God wants in his house. The broken, the lonely. We always think about Indo. Well, Indo, you know, we're going to invite Indo people. What about you go out there and then invite whoever you see, maybe a gas station person, those of us who have a house cleaner family, people that you meet on the street, bring them in, because God wants them in. That is an order, because his friends doesn't want to come and fill these chairs. So you go out there and bring in everyone, the blind, the poor, the lame, and the crippled. Let's do that. Let's see what happened to this church when we have Mexican, Filipinos, blacks. Hello? It's going to be fun, because God is going to restore them. And then you will not have a church that is everybody sopan santun, you know. It's going to be a crazy place, but it is going to be a joyful place. I long to see that in this church. If people that we invite does not want to show up, God says he's going to be disappointed, he's going to be angry. But he's going to tell all the leaders in this place, in IFJ Panol, go out there, bring people from the street. And that's what he wants to do. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. The poor, people who are poor in the spirit, does not know God. The cripple, the one that is weak in their walk, every time walk a little bit, fall down in sin. The blind, people who do not have purpose in life, cannot see what God wants to do in their life. They are just hopeless, blind, and the lame. These people, you need to bring, because they cannot help themselves. They feel that they do not belong to this church. They say, "I want to come, but I'm a sinner. I make too much sin. Church people are holy people." Not true. They think that. But you and I know we are not holy people by any means, right? We are saved by grace. We are not holy. We are, the fact that we are here, it's because we need God to help us. This house is filled with sinners that receive the grace of God. That's why we are here. But people out there, they don't know. They think church people, they dress very nicely, very clean, they smile, they're very, very sopan santun, and so they don't belong. It is your job, servants, to bring them in. It's my job to bring them in. Hallelujah. How many understand the word of God? Hallelujah. So what is the proper response? This is the last. Second to last. The last slide is not a slide, but it's a movie. I want you to enjoy a 2 minutes movie with me. But how do we make, we see that here people refuse the call of God to join his party. And this party is going on every week. But again and again, people that he thinks that is his friend does not show up for the party. And you and I, we are here today. We understand because the word of God says God wants to have a party. He calls us into a party every Sunday. How do we make him happy? He's angry and disappointed. How do we make God, our lover, happy, the host? He's supposed to be happy. He's the one that make a party for us. But some people make him sad. It is to David we have to turn to and learn. David, King David, wrote in Psalm 84, verse 10, it says, for a day in your courts. Court is halaman depan. Belum masuk, not yet come in, just outside. One day even in the court is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. Do you know why he say that? Because he know in the house of God there is something special going on. There's something good thing that's great, that is better than any other places. You can find a good thing in this place. How many say amen to that? Amen. There's something good in this place. One day in this place is much better than 1,000 elsewhere. That is his attitude. Can you honor that? Can you honor God's presence in this place? When you start singing worship song, the presence of God is coming down into your heart. That is something special. It's much better entertainment, if you want to call it entertainment. I don't call it that, but a lot of us, we are seeking excitement somewhere else. You come to this place, let the Holy Spirit fill your heart, and he will fill your heart with joy and his presence. One day in this place, honor that, just like David. And the second thing, also David who say that, is that when you come together with friends. Bring others, because this is what he said. I was glad when they said to me, so somebody, some people, they told David, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. There was a gladness. If you know God and God knows you, when people ask you to come to the house of God, there will be gladness. Enggak terpaksa. Enggak terpaksa in English is being pressured. When somebody said, let's go to church tomorrow, I was glad. I don't know how many of you are glad. I hope that you are. I am. Every time I come to this place, I was glad because I know that I'm going to see Michelle, I'm going to see God Johannes, I'm going to see Gilbert, I'm going to see Tim. I mean, there's nobody by the name Tim here. But anyway, everybody. I was glad. This is the community that God has put you together. Let's just honor it. Let's just come and enjoy the great blessing, the great party. It's a practice until we get to that big party of all parties. Right? God put you together in this place. Let me show you a 2 minutes video and then we're going to ask the musician to come. Can I get the lights? Somebody get the lights and then so that you can see. This is the next slide. Yes, and then wait a second. Let's make sure that the sound is there, everything. Let's just darken the whole room because the video is dark. This video is talking about connectedness. All right, let's do it. See, no voice. Thank you. Necesitamos una excusa para something, something. All right. Just come a musician. I really long for a time our church become like that, you know. We're not just, go ahead, musician, just come. We're done. I just hope that our church does not become just a religious institution, you know, like people just come and do their religious duty. We are connecting as a family. And I just also pray that our church is not becoming too exclusive, all Indos, you know, all students, and we ignore other ethnicities that needs God. Come on. Let's just, if we are like that, and if I'm like that, let's repent. Let's open our hearts to people that are different than us. Let's share a meal. Take a risk. Take a risk. You know, the lady, she was taking the risk. What if after she pulled down the tables, no one show up or no one wants to join? That is a risk, right? Aduh, malu banget, you know, like, man. But do you know that love takes a risk? And love suffer also. You invite, but what if the person does not want to come? You feel rejected. Man, I wish I never talked to her or to him, you know, because you feel rejected. You know, our God, He felt like that. And He felt like that because of His love. If you feel like that, it's okay. It's okay. Let's go feel rejected in the name of love. Because that is who your God is, a God that loves. I want the church to learn to love those who are different, to appreciate our together time like this. Fill these chairs with all kind of people, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the blind, everybody that needs God, the lonely. You have friends that are lonely, but you don't talk to her or to him. You have friends that are hurting right now, but you don't care to approach that person. Go and approach that person. Even if that friend reject, I don't want. Don't give up. Bring them here because God is going to restore the blind with sight. God is going to strengthen the crippled and the lame so that they can walk straight. God is going to restore the blind so that they will have a new perspective of life, hope. There's a lot of people around you that need hope. Let's do them a favor by being faithful, praying for them, bring them to church, and love them. Because that is what will make our Master glad. Let us stand. Amazing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound of